Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Northwest Baptist Church. We hope you hear from God in this week's message.
The season of Advent is the season that we're currently in. Starts that last Sunday in November, carries us through really until tomorrow. Here at Northwest, our Advent season starts the 1st of December because we celebrated the whole month. That's how we do it here. The season of Advent is where we look back upon Jesus' first coming in celebration while also preparing our hearts now as we look forward to his second coming. Advent in Latin means coming, from the Greek term parousia. And so in Advent, we are celebrating and preparing our hearts for the second coming. Now, got a question for you. This sermon isn't anything new, just like this service isn't anything new. You all know why we're here. What are we celebrating at Christmas? Crowd participation. Christ's birth. Exactly. Christmas is about celebrating the birth of the Savior. But why? Why do we need a Savior? Why did the Savior have to come born of a woman? Because God was providing humanity's eternal solution for sin and separation from him. That is why. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21 says, "But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord," which happens to be George, "appeared to him in a dream." So our translation say Gabriel. It's really George. "An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus.'" Now, we say Jesus because it has a J, but in Hebrew, it's Yeheshua. There is no J. It's Yeheshua, and Yeheshua comes from two terms, Yahweh and salvation. The name of Jesus literally means Yahweh saves. The angel of the Lord, who knows Yahweh, says that this child in the womb of Mary is Yahweh in the flesh to save his people from their sins. That's how much God loves the world. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 says, "But when the appropriate time had come, God sent out his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Why that caveat? Why under the law? Paul says in Romans chapter 2 that God's law is twofold: the Mosaic law for the Jews, and then the law of conscience for the Gentiles, so that no man can boast. All stand condemned and guilty of breaking God's law, because your conscience tells you right and wrong, although you don't want to tell that to God. And then God gave the law through Moses to his people so that they would know right and wrong. No one is innocent. Therefore, God sent out his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, both Jews and Gentiles, so that we may be adopted as children of God with full rights. We do notes here, so if you do want to take notes, here's your first note. Because of what Jesus accomplished through his human birth, perfectly fulfilling the law of God, atoning for sin with his death, rising from the dead in victory, and then sending us the promised Holy Spirit. Because of what Jesus accomplished through his human birth, humanity has now received the opportunity for new birth through faith in him. This is what we celebrate during Christmas. Humanity needed a human savior. but not a mere human who was still dead in their sins, that is, still spiritually separated from God because of their sin, which is the case for every religion and every other belief. Their saviors were born in sin and then died, how? In sin. And their philosophies are all derived from limited, sinful intellect. Humanity needed a human savior who was not merely human, a savior who was both of divine origin and shared humanity. Jesus the Christ, who was born of a woman but not from human origin, is that only savior. And therefore, only Jesus the Christ can provide us a new life with God through new birth in him. To say it differently, as we celebrate the birth of the Savior Jesus, we are also celebrating the new birth he provided for us. It's birth for birth. Christmas is first and primarily a gift from God to humanity, which in this case, follow how we do gifts. See how God already provided the model for what we would celebrate in Christmas. Let me say this again. Christmas is first and primarily a gift from God to humanity, which in this case was presented wrapped in swaddling cloth, then hung like an ornament, crucified on a tree, not under a tree, and then unwrapped by God himself for us on the third day when Jesus arose from the dead. This is Christmas from God's perspective. All the elements are there. Dr. Dustin Benge said this: the birth of Christ meant God refused to leave us in our sin. For God so loved the world so much, he would not leave his creation in sin without providing a remedy. That's what we're celebrating during the Christmas season. We're celebrating the fact that God refused to leave us. God refused, let me make it personal now. God refused to leave you in your sin, but he provided a way out. Now back to the original question. Follow up, shall I say. Why did the Savior have to come born of a woman? Because God was providing humanity's eternal solution for sin and separation from him. With that now said, let me clarify something. God's eternal solution in Jesus isn't solely for future time, for that would serve no benefit for us who live in the here and now, us who still battle against sin, us who still suffer from sin, and us who are plagued by sin. This salvation in Jesus serves us in our current broken life, in this current broken world, because our eternal life begins once we become born again. I'm trying to make these connections for you because we're here celebrating birth. And I want you to see how the birth of the Savior gives full display and demonstration of what we also receive in new birth. Birth comes through pain. We're born in sin, that's pain. But the moment the child comes into the world, there's joy. The moment we say yes to Jesus, there's joy. There's a maturation process. You say yes to Jesus and you're born again, there's a maturation process. But there's new life. You're no longer in the womb for those who are saved. You're no longer part of that old life for those who are saved. You've been washed clean, because you know that's what they do with babies when they come out, right? I got kids in the building. They wash them. And then they do what? They wrap them tight so that they're warm and snug, a reminder of what it was like in the womb. What do you think happens when you're born again? You're washed by the Holy Spirit. Then you're wrapped tight by the Holy Spirit to keep you snug and warm in a cold world. Salvation in Jesus serves us in our current broken life in this current broken world, because eternal life begins once we become born again. We are born again into eternal life. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 1 through 3. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you gave him authority over all people, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. Then he goes on, verse 3. This is eternal life. Jesus is answering the question, well, what is eternal life? Philosophers say, what is truth? Religions say, what is life? As well as truth. Jesus is like, I'm going to tell you what both are. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You ain't got to look nowhere else. This is eternal life, that they may know, knowledge, relationship, familiarity, intimacy. Do you know this same know in the Greek is the same term used in the Old Testament Hebrew when it would talk about a man and his wife? He would know her. That is the level of intimacy you can only experience if you have a relationship with someone. Eternal life is that they may know you, the only true God, mono. Not multiple gods, not multiple ways, only solo, true, one of truth, God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. That's from Jesus' own mouth. Eternal life isn't duration-based. It's the everlasting relational reality of God consciousness. That's eternal life. We know the only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and he is our God, and we are his people. Just as Jesus' human life began once he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, so does our eternal life begin once we are born again by that same Holy Spirit through our faith in Jesus. Therefore, God's eternal solution serves us in the present eternal life we live, as well as the future eternal life we will live. Now you can open your Bibles, because I think I'm doing good right now. So go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 5. That was the intro. Now I start my sermon. That's why we gave y'all cookies, coffee, and cocoa. Just to buy y'all a little extra time, because they had me in the program. All right, Romans chapter 5. We're going to read the first couple of verses. All right, I want you to notice in these verses, this present eternal life, as well as the future eternal life. Okay? This is what we have in Christ. Therefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have present, have, since we currently have been declared righteous by what? By faith. We have present peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all present tense eternal life. Continue on, verse 2. We have present also obtained access through him by what? By faith into this grace in which we stand. Present tense, present eternal life. And we rejoice in the hope, future, in what's to come of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, present tense, because we are contained in a broken body, living in a broken world. You can't get away from afflictions, no matter how they come, where they come from, how long they last. But Paul says, because of the present eternal life, as well as the future eternal life, verse 3, we can rejoice in our afflictions. Why? Because they got a purpose. There is no such thing as purposeless suffering in Jesus. Because we know, there goes no again. We are not merely aware of, we know to be true. We know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character. And proven character produces hope. I'm going to pause and I'm going to say this because Deacon Bob mentioned this. I know the holidays are tough, especially if you have lost loved ones within the calendar year or since this last holiday. Holidays can be tough, especially in the colder months because it's literally cold outside and you see everybody dressed up getting together. If you got any access to TV or the internet, you got all the commercials and all the posts going out about being with family and friends. And if you are alone, woo, that loneliness can hit like that cold outside, slap you in the face if you ain't got a mask on. Okay? Affliction produces endurance. Some of us pray for God to deliver us from our affliction, and the same breath pray for God to grow us, and he's like, that's why I've allowed affliction in your life, to grow you. So you want me to take the thing out of your life that you asked for when you asked to be mature, when you asked to look like me. Or if there are some of you here saying, is God real? God, if you're real, show me you're real. And he continues to bring, you ready? Suffering in your life and Christians in your life. That ain't by accident. If you're here and you're a believer and you're wondering, why does my life, no matter how much I try to do right by God, I try to walk according to his word, life gets harder. That's a good thing. Well, know why? Because you're doing something right, and what's on the other side is trying to resist it. But that produces something. The math on that, in this sense, produces endurance. You know what that is? We can say that in for athletic folk or these young folk, these little kids out here, long-windedness. You can run a block. You run that block long enough, you can run how many more blocks? You can run two blocks, right? Or for those that don't run, you can walk. Walk your steps enough, you don't get winded when you walk up the steps, correct? Afflictions produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character that has been tried, tested, and stands the test. How do I know if I'm really looking like Jesus? Are you suffering through afflictions to the point where you still look like Jesus when you finish? Then your suffering, your afflictions produce the endurance to produce your proven character. But he doesn't stop. That's all present tense. Verse 5, and proven character produces hope. Hope is the reminder of what's to come. If he's keeping me in what is happening in the present tense, then I can trust that he'll show up in what's to come. And then verse 5, this hope will not disappoint us. Future tense. The hope that you were looking for to come, Advent, celebrating what already came, the first coming of Christ, while we prepare our lives for the second coming. This hope will not disappoint us. We are not waiting in vain, because when Jesus returns and or you die and he takes you up into glory, either one, you will stand before him. Who are those who have been born again and say, God, send me back because I could have done more. I wouldn't have complained so much. I wouldn't have quit so easily. You're more beautiful than I thought. I was awaiting something I couldn't actually imagine. And now that I'm seeing it for all it really is, gosh, I wish I could have gave you more. That's why hope doesn't disappoint. Future. And then he goes on. Because God's love has been present tense, present eternal life. We have a hope that will not disappoint us, future, because God's love present has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's eternal solution serves us in the present eternal life we live as well as in the future eternal life we will live. One more passage. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Yep, I'm about to go. I know the cues. I got my wrap up right afterwards. Don't worry. 1 Peter chapter 1. So you got Paul in Romans 5. Watch Peter say almost the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ready? Because of his great mercy, he has given us what? New birth. Present. New birth into what? A living hope. Hope is alive. Oh, your hope got legs. Your hope is actually a chain that connects you into eternity future that you don't exist in yet to keep you in your present course so that you can stand before Jesus and see him face to face. Oh. Has given us present tense new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because he conquered death, those who believe in him will also conquer death. And then verse 4, and new birth, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, future tense. Your present tense, new birth is into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. You don't have to fear death. And then in the future tense, into an inheritance, something that is waiting for you, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You can't ruin what God has in store for you because he's the one that's keeping it, not you. God the Father is not like our human parents that may choose to write us in their will if we show them we love them enough, or write us out their will if we don't love them the way we want them to be loved. God the Father is not like that. His inheritance isn't based on me or you loving him. It's based on him loving us. That's future. Verse 5. You, present tense, you are being guarded by God's power. How? Through faith. That's what our Advent this month has been. Faith, trusting God to come. And you've seen that in the passages we've read thus far. You, present tense, are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Future. You exist in your present eternal life and are being kept until your future eternal life. Verse 6, you rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, present tense, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials. So that, what is that to say again? Proven character of your faith. You've been around church long enough, you've probably heard this. God cares more about your character than he does about your happiness. You think, or maybe you pray, or you believe, or maybe you don't even realize you think like that, that God wants you to be happy. No, he wants you to be holy. You don't find him wanting you to be happy anywhere in the Bible. Your happiness really, actually, is joy. It's joy in the Lord. So any happiness you experience in this life should be all tethered to your identity in Jesus. That way it doesn't come and go based off of the circumstantial stuff that happens in your life. God wants you to be holy. Hence the reason why sometimes we might go through afflictions. Because he's producing something from it. Something far better than what we think. Goes on. This proven character of your faith is more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire and may result in, future tense, praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. That's faith. And though not seeing him now, you believe in him. That's faith. And because of that, you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith. That's present tense eternal life, knowing what it inherits in the future. You rejoice with inexpressible. Sometimes, and if you've experienced this, then you actually, if I'm honest, I experienced this watching the young people dance. I got filled with joy, so much joy it burned my eyes, that I began to sweat from my eyes. Okay. Why? Why did I get filled with joy? Because I watched these young children and teenagers, excuse me, to not minimize my teenagers in here, worship the one at the center of it all, Yeshua. That filled me with joy that I couldn't express with words, so my body emitted tears because of the joy that I had. That's inexpressible and then glorious. It's beyond this life, so those who aren't in Christ don't understand the joy that you have in Christ, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's present eternal life going directly into future eternal life. Salvation in Jesus serves us in our current broken life in this current broken world, because our eternal life begins once we become born again. And this is all included in God's gift to humanity at the first Christmas. What a gift from God. I'll wrap up. Told you it was going to be short, Jack. What are we celebrating at Christmas? Jesus. For Christians, for those born again in Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God, we are not celebrating the commercialized Christmas, which is a strategy of the enemy to get you to focus on greed and vanity. We are not celebrating the fictional Christmas, which is another strategy of the enemy to undermine the true giver in God and the true historical person of Jesus with the character of Santa Claus. We are not celebrating the family traditions of Christmas. Though these traditions can be good and enjoyed, they are not the reason for the season. And we are not celebrating the day Jesus was born. December 25th isn't Jesus' birthday. Scripture only gives us clues to the year and season of his birth. It was during the reign of King Herod, when Caesar Augustus called the census, while Quirinius was governing in Syria. So it's probably the early spring of 6 or 5 BC. That's it. That's all Scripture gives us regarding Jesus' birth, the supposed year and or season. It never gives us the day or any specific date, because that's not what matters. Which means, technically, for Christians, when is Christmas? Today. Whatever day is called today. Because every day is a reason to celebrate the birth of Jesus. For those who are born again, we are celebrating God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the fact that God the Son came to be born, to give his life as the atonement for our sins, to redeem us who believe in him. Therefore, every Christmas season, as we look back upon the first and greatest gift of God to us in the birth of Jesus, we should not and cannot help but be reminded of the new birth we now have received in Jesus. Thus, no matter what is going on in our personal life or in the world around, this yearly reminder of God's gift should fill us with faith, hope, love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and a sound mind. Truly, God's gift to us in the birth of Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving from our eternity present throughout all of eternity future. And because of this, we can wait in faith, preparing ourselves each day of this life for God's next best gift in the return of Jesus, where the King will usher us into his everlasting kingdom with him. If this doesn't fire you up and then hold you over until that great day, then nothing else will. The wise men brought gifts to baby Jesus because they, in faith, acknowledged him as the foretold coming king. What about you? What items do you need to bring to Jesus in acknowledgement that he is the king who came and is coming again? What things do you need to lay at his feet as a gift to him for his gift to you? As I pray, you pray. Search your heart for whatever that may be and then commit it to the Lord tonight. Worship team and choir, you guys can return and take your place. For any unbelievers here, thank you for coming. I'm sure a family member invited you and you came out of clearly a level of respect and love that you have for them. I do pray that one, you felt welcome, and before you leave, if not, you will feel welcomed. And then secondly, that you've observed how we here, at least at Northwest, can't speak for everybody else, how we here truly do love Jesus, take him seriously, and make it all about him. And that in some way, shape, form, or fashion has softened your heart this morning to hear what I'm about to address to you. For any unbelievers here, you possess nothing you can give to God. But God possesses everything you need and is freely offering it to you in Jesus. All you have to do is say yes and receive God's gift. The Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to all who receive him, those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become God's children. That's God's gift to you this Christmas. If you've ever wondered, what has God done for me? He took care of the worst thing ever, your sin problem. He may never give you anything else, and yet he still gave you the greatest thing. Now it's on you to respond to God. You're going to accept his gift, or you're going to look at the package and say, it's not the kind of gift that I want, therefore I reject it, and take your chances when you die and stand before the God that you may not believe exists. Because one of us are right, and one of us is wrong. Those of us who believe in Jesus have banked. We put all the eggs in one basket. That God is real. Jesus Christ truly did live, truly did die, and truly did rise, and he will come again. We put all our eggs in that basket, and we're totally fine dying. What about you? As I pray, you pray to believe. And then come talk to myself or one of the deacons who will be up here after service. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this particular holiday during this particular time of the year where we get to truly focus on the birth of the Son. Jesus, thank you for taking up the mantle and choosing to come, incarnating yourself in humanity so that you could be the perfect sacrifice for humanity, to then allow us, reconcile us to the Father. Thank you. And then you didn't leave us to do it by ourselves. You sent the Spirit of God to dwell in us, to help us along this journey, because life is hard. Living in this sinful, broken world is hard, but we are not without hope because of you. I pray that service thus far has been pleasing. I pray that the preaching of your word has truly exalted you, Jesus, and has drawn someone unto you in faith. And if there's anyone here that does not know you but desires to know you personally as their Savior and Lord, that they will respond sincerely from their heart. I'm a sinner. I'm separated from you. I want to believe in you, Jesus. I want to be saved. I want you to be my God. I want to be your people. And they would just come forward and talk to myself or a deacon after service so we can explain to them what it means to be born again. And then walk with them as we follow you one day at a time. May the remainder of our service continue to be sweet and pleasing in your sight, May we with the rest of the angelic beings stand in praise and honor and worship to our sovereign, majestic King, the Lamb who was slain for the sins of his people, but arose as a lion because he is the conquering and returning King, and we can rejoice in that. Have your way. This we ask and pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We'd love to have you come worship with us in person at 300 Westminster Road, Reisterstown, Maryland, 21136. Also, be sure to check out our church's website at nwbcmd.org to find out what else we're doing and how to get plugged in.